And hello, hello, hello. Welcome to another episode of the Confidence Unchained podcast. This season, as you know, is all about how to marry your vocation to your calling. And every week, I know I say this every single time, but every week the episodes get better and better and better. Not for nothing, but I chose some really awesome people that have gone through some horrific and awesome stuff, and they're willing to share it with you all. So I'm excited, whether you're watching or you're listening, either way, you're being blessed. Thank you so much for your comments. Thank you so much for being awesome, for calling me, texting me, emailing me, sending me smoke signals, whatever it is, however you're talking to me. I'm excited that you're enjoying the podcast this season. Continue to watch, continue to download, and continue to share. Please do that. So today, it's not an ordinary day. I have an amazing woman of God here with us. She is Marquita D. Collings, and she wrote this amazing, awesome book. You see how cute she is right here. And I'm just going to tell you a little bit about her before she tells us, but and I have some questions for her, of course. But she is the rising CEO, and she's a top 100 international live streaming social media influencer. If that is a mouthful, I don't think I ever had one like that. And she is helping to shape the minds of many as an entrepreneur, recording artist, and anointed mentor. My goodness, she is rapidly growing her empires. I love that. Empires with a big old S. Girl Talk with Kita and Kita's Cookies and Treats, Kita's Company, and Image Media LLC. I mean, hello, the woman does it all. So without further ado, there is our sister Marquita. How are you? Welcome.
I am wonderful. Thank you so much, Catherine, for inviting me to the table to talk to your wonderful audience.
My pleasure. It's my pleasure. It's been a long time coming. I feel like this was ordained before you and I even knew about it. So I'm excited. Thank you so much for making the time. I know you're busy. You got your systems in place. You're leading by example, which I love. So thank you so much. Oh, I know I read a little bit about you, but in your own words, who is Marquita D. Collings?
Well, as I always say, my name is Marquita D. Collings, and I'm a wife, I'm a mother, I'm a woman of faith, I'm a worship pastor, I'm a published author of my new international selling book, A Little Old Fashioned Goes a Long Way. I am a social media influencer on Periscope, and I'm also a friend, a mentor, it's so many things that I am, but I love to tell the world that I'm a wife and a mother before I say anything else. Like, that is just my heartbeat right there.
That is awesome. And I love how you share your journey. We'll talk about that. I met you through an amazing sister that we have in common. And I listened to that because it was, I don't know what else to call it, but it was preaching. It was anointing preaching is what it was. And I watched it, I downloaded it, put it on my phone, listened to it a couple times. It was powerful. And I'm like, okay, I need to talk to this woman. And then you were so... It was so awesome because people do this, but you just did it in a different way. You posted, thank you for having me, blah, blah, blah. And if you want, for those of you that want to get my book, and I'm like, okay, I need to get this book. I don't know why. I picked it up, got it in the mail, signed, of course. Thank you very much.
Yes.
And I read it. You know how many books I buy? Can I fess out for a minute?
Yes.
I buy so many books. You know, authors support each other. I get books in piles. Like, I see a pile right there just looking at me with dirty eyes. And I don't read them. But this one, for some reason, I don't know if it was the pearls. I think it was the pearls. I don't know what it was, but it was like, read me. I read it. I was showing you every page that I have dog ear, every page that I underline, and every page that I did my homework, like I did the exercises. So it's a powerful book. So it, not for nothing, it's a quick read. It not for anything other than it's raw. It's like real. And that's why I'm excited to talk to you. That was even before I knew much about you. Then I read it and I'm like, okay, she needs to come to the podcast. So thank you for putting your heart in print form.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So let's get right into that. So you know that we're talking about for people of faith, so that's who my audience is. And I know that in personal experience, I struggle with how am I a businesswoman and a woman of faith and how do I do ministry? And I tried to keep them separate and then it didn't work. And I struggled with that for a while. And I was hoping someone will do something about it. So I pray about it. I'm like, God, I was kind of complaining a little bit. God, somebody should do something about that. Somebody should write a book. Somebody should do something. And he's like, well, you're somebody. So I went ahead and wrote the book about it. And then I decided the podcast has to be about that too, because I know I am not the only one that's dealing with this. So did you ever struggle with marrying the two, or do you always know that they went together?
Oh my God, I struggled with that. Are you kidding me? This is the thing. When you are a wife and a mother, that's a job within itself. So Shout out to all the wives and the stay-at-home moms and all the single mothers and all of that. I know we're talking to ladies. I know men do it too, but we're talking to ladies right now. It is a job within itself to balance your husband and your children and then find some space for yourself. So now when you're adding on ministry, work, entrepreneurship, other streams of income, mentoring, you know, coaching, whatever you're doing outside of those realms, it's like a circus, and you have to ask God for a spirit of balance. Yeah. Because if you don't have it, somebody along the way is going to suffer. Something is going to be highly affected by it, and not in a good way. So absolutely, I had struggled with that in the beginning, because I was being all things to everybody. And guess what? I was not taking care of myself, because I was taking care of, I wanted to be there for my bishop, wanted to be there for my first lady and my co-pastor, wanted to be there for the team that I was leading at that moment, had to be a mom, had to go to the school, had to drop the kids off, had to bake the cookies, you know what I mean? Had to still be a wife. My husband don't want to hear about everybody else's problems. He want me to tend to him. And so how do I juggle all of that and not go in the cuckoo house? I had to ask God to give me balance. And after a while, when I started learning how to put things in its proper place, really learning the structure of God, then things begin to flow a little bit easier. I didn't say it wasn't hard, but it flowed a little bit easier because I put things in its proper place.
Yeah, I love that. And I love you said that it took a while, because sometimes people think it's going to be a magic pill. You just like, you know, this little cheat sheet, and then it
happens. Sell it to me if you got some.
No, it's not easy. And I think the journey is different for everybody, especially because I resisted. I'll just be honest. I resisted because I'm like, I can manage everything separately. It's like, I can manage it, but I probably could, but I was not succeeding, and I did not feel whole. I didn't feel like I was myself, and people couldn't connect with me at the level that they are connecting now, because I was not connected with myself.
Right. And that's very important, to make time for yourself and make sure that you're doing for you. Because if you don't, like, again, somebody's going to suffer, because when mommy, when wife is not doing good, it affects the whole flow of the house. It flows through the business. It flows through ministry. It flows through whatever you're working on or whatever you're doing. If you don't have that balance, if you don't have that inner peace going on, something is going to be affected by it. And so, yeah, I had to learn how to, wait a minute, let me make time for me. So when I am pouring out, I'm not depleted. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And did you ever, seems like you have several businesses. Do you have separate audiences, or are you able to still be a woman of faith and be a woman in business? Is that something that you have been able to put
together? This is the thing. I think that people are drawn to me because, though I'm not perfect, I'm very honest. And so I don't think people connect to what's perfect. They connect to what's real and what's honest and what's transparent. And sometimes you connect to what's even a little broken, because you can identify with that. And so even though I have the cookie business, even though I'm doing the books and all that kind of thing, because I'm always being myself and I'm saying to God be the glory, it's like, it is what it is. And if you can't accept my truth in that way, then you're not attracted to the anointing or the gifting or the purpose in my life, because I am not going to not talk about God. Do you know? So even in business, there's a way to do it where they still know, oh, there's something about this person that's a little different. They must be a believer or they must know God. And I love when people say that because that's what we're to exude. Now, I'm not going to go around in somebody's business and speaking in tongues and laying hands on the folk at the corporate office. But, you know, there is an anointing. There's a posture. There is a light and a presence that I walk under. And so what that does, it commands the attraction, and it's called the anointing of God. And so when I come into a place, it, you know, I'm supposed to lift burdens and destroy yokes through the Holy Spirit. And so that's anywhere. I don't think it's hard for me to bring those two together because I've always been that way from jump. So I never had to divide that and just only be business and then be spiritual. They go hand in hand for me.
That's awesome. I love that. And I love what you said, that it's a way of doing it. And that's the part that I had to struggle with, because I thought I had to come in and just be Minister Catherine, like, you know, go all in. Uh-huh. And I love the balance that I have found is, I was doing it yesterday, that I can still be a woman of faith and I can have a regular interview
with
myself, and it will come out. Either they'll ask me or I'll say something, or the way that I'm dressed or how I talk. And then we can go there. And
right.
Be there, but I don't have to hit them over the head with that. So I think that was the struggle, that I didn't know how to have that finesse, if you will, of respecting where I'm at, but and still be true to who I am.
Mm-hmm. And you know, in the world, we're in this world, but not of this world. But God still wants, and according to the word of God, He wants us to affect the kingdoms, aka systems of this world, until they become the kingdom systems of our Lord and of His Christ. And so we're not going to always be behind the four walls of the church. We do have to affect the seven mountains, you know, education, health, arts, industry, entertainment, church, and all those kinds of things. And so some of us are not going to be behind the pulpit. Some of us are going to be, you know, at the corporate table, but we still have an assignment to do, and we don't have to be churchy. We don't have to be prophetess so-and-so, evangelist so-and-so, minister so-and-so. I am okay with you calling me Marquita. I know who I am, but just know that when God gives me an assignment, it's going to be done, and it's going to be done well. And I didn't have to compromise because I don't have to be this title that people honor in church. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah. But they don't honor in the world. You know, even in the world, we have to remember that we have to let our light so shine. And it's not just about talking. It's about living that thing.
Absolutely. I love that. And in business, we have so many chances of portraying that Christ-like behavior in the way that we do business, and the way that we go above and beyond when we don't have to.
Right.
The way we talk to them, the way we treat them. For them to say, why are you being so understanding? Like, why are you not losing your business right now? And you got to say, well, I got peace.
Right.
And who I am. And then I just love how it always goes back to that. I remember somebody introduced me. They were talking about me. And they said, she's great. She's a speaker. And they're like, well, do you think she want to talk to our group? And she said, well, you know, she's a woman of faith. And the lady said, yeah, that's okay. It was so awesome. That's okay. Yeah. It was like, yeah, we're okay with that, because people are actually looking for that. So sometimes we don't knock on doors thinking that that's going to be an impediment. And most of the time, that's the exact thing they're looking for.
Exactly. Absolutely. People, again, they are attracted to what's real and what's honest.
That's awesome.
So it doesn't matter if you're a woman of faith. It doesn't matter if you're a baker. It doesn't matter if you're an author. It doesn't matter if you're just a stay-at-home mom watching all five of your kids. If you have a gift that people are attracted to, that's what it is. And your authenticity, that's what it's about. And so for me, God had opened up so many doors because I'm consistent in being honest, and I'm consistent in being myself and not trying to be nobody else. I don't want nobody else's anointing, nobody else's gift, nobody else's charisma. I am Marquita D. Collins, and I love who I am.
Right. And that's awesome. Because, I mean, there's people looking, and if somebody's struggling with who they are and there's something about you that speaks to them, they're going to say, well, if she can do it, I can do it.
Right.
And we never know who's looking at us thinking, wow, I really would love to do that. And then they read your story or they learn about your testimony and they're like, wow. So mm-hmm. God can still use her. Maybe he can still use me, which mm-hmm. is powerful. So mm-hmm. what have you learned about God from the beginning when you started doing this and you're trying to do the balance act and do all these businesses and be a mom and a wife? And what have you learned about God all this time that you did not know before?
I literally learned that God, I knew God was the God that answers. And I knew that he was a promise keeper. But I found him to be the God that won't give you no more than you can handle during this process. You know, I found him to be the God that will keep you in perfect peace if you keep your mind stayed on him. Amen. I've said it, I've quoted it, I've spoken it. But I've learned God in a different way. I feel the anointing, sis. I've learned God in a different way, actually going through the process of being a wife, being a mother, being an entrepreneur, being a worship pastor, being a minister, being a prophetess, being all of these, being an author, all of these things. I said, God, how, why did you choose me and choose me to do all of these different things? And he said, because I've chosen you for a great purpose. Okay, we've asked God to use us all the time. All of us want God to use us, but I didn't know that he was really going to be that God that I won't put more on you than you can bear. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so every time I felt like I was going to be like, you know, tipping over, he stood me up and said, you can handle it. So I found God to be the God that really meant I will not put more on you than you can handle. So I trust him in a different way.
Yeah, I love what you said. So it's almost like he said it, but you know it because you lived it.
I lived it.
Yeah.
And that's I live it every day. Every day I get up, I go, God, I thank you that you know what's before me. I just prayed this prayer. You know what's before me, and I know what I'm leaving behind me. So keep me, God, in peace that I don't see the things coming and I get weary. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Because again, when you are married and have children and have businesses, it's hard. It's hard for a single person. Yeah. But it's really, really hard when you have to balance personalities and you still got to be attentive. As a wife, my first assignment is to my husband, not to the people. Do you know what I'm saying? And so it's in the communication. It's in the dying to my flesh. It's in the seeking God and making sure that I'm doing things in order and all of those things. So, yeah, I learned him to be, and I found him to be the God that won't put more on me than I can bear.
I love that. And one of the things that I learned to say is, don't tell me, show me.
Right.
I tell it to people all the time because talk is cheap. People say that say things all the time. And God left us his word, right, in the Bible. And there's so much stuff that he could say, and he doesn't have to honor it, right? He's not even here. What are we going to do? Go to complain, right? But he's not just talk. He puts action behind everything he said.
Right. Absolutely. So awesome. This is amazing.
He's pretty awesome. And I love that. I think that's why he allows us to go through things, because then we have testimonies and then we can write books about it. And we can say, I know he said it in the Bible. I know he did it for those people. He's still doing it today.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
He's so awesome. He is so awesome. Now, you've been through so much. So talking a little bit about the book and your story, which is so well written. And so I call it raw in the best way, because it's not the, I was a perfect Christian and then I slipped for a little bit and everything was fine. No, it's like life happened. Mm-hmm. Like, literally life happened and God's still using me. But what would you say to that woman that went through so much? Like, what would you say if you were able to go back? What would you tell her from where you are today? And I mean, she went through so many, and I don't want to spoil it because it's just so powerful. But if you've been in a place where life has happened to you and you messed up and other people have messed up in your life and you're not sure that God can still use you, this is the book. Especially if you're still single, this is a great book. But for you, what would you tell to that girl, to that young woman that went through so much and now you're on the other side? What would you tell her?
I would tell Marquita back then 20 years ago, and I've done this exercise a few times, and I've said different things every time because I'm evolving. I'm changing every day. And so I would tell Marquita 15-year ago Marquita, 20-year ago Marquita, don't compromise. It's not worth it. They're not worth it. Wow. Do not do what you know is wrong to fit in. Mm-hmm. I found myself always trying to fit in and want people to like me because I know that I am, you know, I know that I'm an amazing person. I mean, I know that I'm loyal. I know that I am consistent. I know that, you know, I love people beyond their drama. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes would get me in trouble because I would see people. To me, I would see people beyond their flaws, right? Mm-hmm. And sometimes they would stay in their flaws and I would still try to love them beyond that. And so I would get hurt in the process. I also found myself looking for love in all the wrong places. And I come from a, you know, mother and father, been married over 40 years, two sisters. I have two sisters. We had dogs and, you know, two cars, big house and all that kind of stuff. So there was no lacking of family, but there was an acceptance that I felt I needed from my peers that I did not get until I got much older. And I didn't need to do that. I was always the leader and I end up being the follower, and I should never have done that. And so I would tell that girl, don't compromise, stand on what you know is right. They're going to talk about you. They're going to pick on you. They're going to bully you. They're going to do what they're going to do. But it's going to be over in a little while. The tables is getting ready to turn.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. And it's so funny how you say, so you didn't have lack in your family or things, but you had lack of other people seeing your awesomeness.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And that will mess you up.
Yeah.
Before they say anything, before they do it, and I have personal experience with that because growing up, I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. I thought I was just a regular girl. I had crazy hair. I was super lanky, super tall, you know, had a mouth, had opinions. And I thought that was fine. I didn't think there was anything wrong with that until people started to tell me there was something wrong with that.
Right.
So then you doubt it. You're like, oh, so maybe if they're saying it, and they love me, so maybe there is something wrong with it.
Right, right. And no, there wasn't nothing wrong with it. I think that because my parents, and it's in the book, they're churchgoers, they're pillars of the church that I grew up in, my grandfather's church, God bless his soul. But they did not understand the giftings that were on my life. And so they knew I was very special and I was, you know, bright and, you know, artistic and loved the camera and I loved to sing and we loved to dance and all those kinds of things. But to know the spiritual things, they did not know about that. And so when I'm dealing with spiritual warfare at the age of 5 and 10 and 15 and all that, it's like, what do you do with that? You know, What do you do with those feelings and those emotions, and you don't have adults around you to help cultivate that, train that, say, oh, this is what this is. Oh, and don't do this, do that. And so I was kind of left to my own vices,
right?
You know, and which caused the peer pressure, caused the compromising, caused me, you know, rolling with folk I should not have rolled with, hung out with people I should not have hung out with. God always, 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 Catherine, I always got caught when I did something I had no business doing. Everybody else, you could have robbed a bank, murdered somebody, you know, took the car, stole the car. If I did anything, I always, always, always got caught. And I believe it was because God wanted me to know, no matter what you do, your light is shining. That's on you forever, you know? And so though you may want to run from it, you can't. And so I would tell that girl, don't compromise. You're going to be great. You don't even realize what's in you. You don't even know what God is going to do for you and how he's going to use you. Don't compromise. And I believe if I didn't compromise during those times, I probably would have been at this moment years ago, but it's okay. It's okay because my testimony is still blessing people and encouraging people, and the situations that I've occurred or endured, it helps them not to do it. Because I'm telling you, don't do it this way, because if you do, you're going to go through things you don't have to go through. So
I love that. And I love there's something that you said that I want to go back to for a moment that happened in your community, that they couldn't recognize it. And the way that you said it was, it's like you're not mad at them. Like you recognize their limitations.
Yeah.
And that frees you, because if you were still mad at them, you would have said that in a different way. There will be some bitterness,
yeah,
some resentment there, but it seems like you have dealt with that and realized they did what the best they could do.
Yeah, yeah, they did. They did. My father and my mother, they made sure me and my sisters were in Sunday school, Bible study. We were ushers. We were in the choir. I mean, we served. We were always at our church, always, always, always. And so I can't be mad at something they didn't know. I can't. My mother, and I've talked about it in my book, my mother tapped into some things she shouldn't have tapped into, but she didn't know. She didn't know any better. And so, but it stops here. You know, I spoke over, ooh, I felt that. you know, I had to tell it to my sisters. I had to rally me and my two sisters together and say, hey, this spirit that tries to permeate and penetrate in our bloodline, it stops with me. So it won't happen to you. It won't happen to our children. It won't happen to our children's children, because we know better now. They didn't know. And so now that we know, we got to take accountability for the generations before us, because what they did fell on us. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So I'm not mad about that. I thank God that it was revealed so we know how to attack and how to go into war with those situations.
That's powerful. Yeah. And the fact that we went through so many things, you went through so many things, and then you have a powerful testimony.
Yeah.
That you wouldn't have otherwise. And what I find, and you tell me if this is true for you, it helps me appreciate more where I am.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm grateful for every moment. Grateful for the abuse that I went through. Grateful for the divorce I went through. Grateful for, you know, all of the things that make me who I am. I don't regret a thing. I really don't. And I think it's so liberating and it's so freeing. And that's why I was able to write the book, because I'm not ashamed of what I went through, because I know that I'm really delivered. Now, if I wasn't delivered, I'd be all tore up. You know what I mean? Like, oh God, I don't want them to know. I'm like, I'm going to tell it. And I'm going to tell it with class. And I still, my sister, my baby sister, Tracy, she said to me, I'm so proud of how you handled this with integrity, because you could have really mentioned names and said some God awful things they did to you, and you didn't. Yeah. And it's because I want them to even though you did these things to me, or we did these things together, I'm not mad at you. And I pray God's best for you. But I've moved on, but you are still a part of my story. And so I have to tell the truth about how did I end up here? I went through some heavy rejection with family members. Mm-hmm. I went through heavy rejection with boyfriends and heavy rejection with my ex-husband and his family. And I went through depression, and I went through being overweight, underweight. I went through all of that kind of stuff. And so why can't I talk about it? Why can't I talk about the abuse? Why can't I talk about, you know, some of the mistakes that I made? It's freeing, because when I want to reach the person that feels like nobody understands what I'm going through. So I don't want to know about your Jesus, because there's no way Jesus could love me after I had an abortion, or after I've been raped, or after I slept with a married man. And I'm like, honey, please. Yes, he can. Because he did it for me. Do you know what I mean? And I don't look like what I went through.
Right. That's so awesome. That is so awesome. And I mean, that's the whole point. That's the whole point of marrying your vocation and your calling right there.
Yeah.
And that was ever a commercial for it. That's it right there, because it goes together.
It goes together.
And people need to see, look at where I am. Look how cute I am. Look how together. Look how blessed I am.
I am blessed, honey.
Yeah. Not in spite of, but because of. And that makes a big difference.
It does.
Big difference.
It does. Wow. It does, because in spite of, you kind of feel like I'm ashamed, or, you know, I regret. I don't regret anything. And this is the thing I tell people all the time: make sure you tell your testimony before Satan does. Take the power from people saying, well, I know what you used to do. You know what you do know, because you was with me. I know you know. You know, it's like, okay, I remember because we were together, right? Okay, so let me tell the story, right? There was a person that would always feel like they had the ups on me because I used to drink all the time. I was never an alcoholic, but I drunk like a fish. And they're like, oh, how can you minister to people when you used to drink? And I'm like, you use the word used to, so you know I don't anymore, right? But I did. And let me tell you what I used to drink. And I went down the line like, yep, I used to drink, and you bought them for me. Thank you.
That's awesome. And probably the word used to is not for them. They probably still do it, right?
They're still doing it.
Right.
Because this is the thing, Catherine. People can't see you past their reality.
Mm.
And you understand what I'm saying? And so I'm free. I made up my mind to give up those things and to move forward. God delivered me, washed me in the blood, forgave me, and I moved on. And they're still stuck. And so they want to be stuck in 2001 and 2002 and 1999 and 1998. Have goodbye and good luck, because I'm not there anymore. I'm not there anymore. And because you decide to stay in yesteryear and I decided to be free and move on, I'm not going to feel bad for that. Right. I'm not going to feel bad for saying there's more to life than this. Yes, I can start over again. Yeah. I look younger in my 30s than I did in my 20s. That's the glory of the Lord on my life. Right. He will preserve you. He will keep you. He will give you a boldness and a confidence that you've never seen before when you do the things that he told you to do. And so if you want to still talk about what I used to do, then by all means, go ahead. But I'm talking about what he's doing now.
Right, exactly. And that's the part that I love, that, yeah, you did those things. And the way you share your story, which is awesome. It would be really sad if the book you started telling your story and then you were still there.
Right.
That would be a whole different story. But yeah, you do share the story, and not in a depressive way, but it's heavy. But then you get to the middle, you get to the third quarters and the end, and you can see the transformation. You can see that the story is told in a way of, this is my story, and I hope that it blesses you too.
Yeah.
I'm blessed. And yeah, that's the whole point of embracing who you are and what you've been through. Because we wouldn't be who we are if we hadn't gone through those things.
Right. No way.
Yeah, we just wouldn't. So what would you tell to those people that are in that intercession of, I have a business or I have a job, and I'm on the cover in terms of my faith. Like, people don't know about it, and I pray for people, but I don't say anything. And they're feeling that nudge. They're feeling that push of God saying, "Hey, step it up. I'm calling you to be forthright about this." What will you tell those people that are afraid of the consequences, if any?
This is the thing. The Bible says that if you be ashamed before men, he'll be ashamed for you. Mm. And so it's not even a risk. It's just faith. Mm. Now faith is. And faith without works is. I am going to be who God called me to be no matter where I am.
Right.
And I don't have to have a huge cross from here to here. And I don't have to carry a big old King James Version Bible on my shoulder like a boombox to know that God is using me in my workplace to be a blessing to the people in my job. For some of you that are watching right now, the reason why your job has not shut down is because you're there. You know, there is an anointing on us, and we have to be able to demonstrate that and not be afraid of their rejection or be afraid of, because this is the thing, people on your job, they cussing and smoking and gossiping and talking all kinds of crazy, and they do not care what religion you are. You should not care if they don't like you because you say, "I'm praying for you," or "I'm believing God for you," or "if you need prayer, come on and meet me in the cubicle," or "send me an email." Okay, you don't got to do it on the work email, but, you know, shoot me a note or whatever. I want you to know I'm standing in agreement with you. God loves you. There is nothing wrong with that. Some people need that. And you may be the answer at your job. Don't be afraid of the no, "I don't want to hear that." That's the worst they can say, is no. But I promise you, most of the time, they're going to cry. They're going to say, "Thank you." They're going to go, "How did you know that about me?" They're going to want to know about God because you're being consistent. Now, you can't be one of those people at work that's with them cussing and fussing and gossiping and acting a fool and then say, hey, let me share the word of the Lord with you. That's hypocritical and it's not going to work like that. But don't be afraid to be who God has called you to be, no matter where you go. I win souls in the grocery stores. I win souls at Neiman Marcus. I win souls at Walmart. We minister to people on social media. It doesn't matter because we want God. We want Jesus to be glorified.
Yeah. Amen. I love that. Yeah. And I think that's powerful. There are people, I know there are people that don't believe at all, but once they know that you're a believer, they'll say, I don't believe in that, but will you pray for me?
Yep. Yep, I've had Muslims say that to me. Seriously, I know that you don't believe in Allah, but I would appreciate your prayers. And I said, you know, I'm going to say in the name of Jesus, right?
I love it.
So let me make that clear. They go, yeah, we know. Okay, then. I've won atheists to the Lord. It's like, how can you hate a God that you don't even believe in? You don't believe he exists. So if you hate him, that means you must believe he exists.
That's good.
Let's turn this thing around. What happened to you? And you know, most atheists that I have met, they were Christian and they were hurt. And I'm like, you know, that was an experience not to kill you, but to make you better, not to push you away from God, but to draw you closer to God. Mm-hmm. And so it's that boldness that God gives us as Christians too, to not back down from what we believe. Right. I believe that Jesus saves, and I'm going to tell you why. And if you don't like it, that's your choice. Right. But I'm still going to, introduce you to this man that is, that's just powerful and living.
Awesome. Who's awesome in every way. Oh, I love it. I love it. And I love those moments. I love those moments when you can say, and the notch is there. I'm keep saying that because I have felt it before. I would pray, God, please give me a window. If you give me a window, I will share the word. Like I would say that all the time. And he's like, okay, the window is already there. Like you create the window by showing up the way that I created you.
So
to give you the window, I already did.
Right.
I really want to emphasize that because I prayed for a long time about it and I didn't have any opportunity. Well, because I was not letting people know. I was undercover, like at my job. The longest time when I had a job, people didn't even know. And then finally, in the last, 6-7 years, I decided to, people need to know this. And then I started acting like I was, and that made a big difference. And then the people that were watching, that were feeling that they have fallen away and decided, okay, let me talk to Catherine about this. Because I created that environment so we could talk and have Bible study and go to church together. I mean, great things.
Right. Right. That's awesome. I love it.
So what happened when you wrote this amazing book. It's really powerful, really bold. I mean, you share so many things about your husband, the kids, how you guys met. It's just, I love me a love story. So
yeah.
That he has a happy ending. Have you been able, and I'm sure, I mean, the book is, I love the title, Girl Talk Wisdom for Getting and Keeping Your Man. If you look at the cover, you might not think this is a faith-based book. Mm-hmm. So I bet that there are women out there that are not saved that get fooled, if you will, thinking it's a regular book, and then bam, the scripture, and
right. That's the ticket. It's like, I love that you know that. It's like, I want, because I don't want to just win people in the world. I don't want to be light to light. I want to be light in the world of darkness. I don't want to pour water in a lake. I want to be water in a dry place. Do you know what I mean? And so that is like the aha, I gotcha. And you know, because you know, we as women, we're nosy. Girl talk wasn't getting keeping your man. Oh, let me grab that. You know, and then before you know, you're crying and like, oh, God, help me, deliver me. Yeah. I'm sorry, Jesus.
Exactly. Yeah, I love it because this is a workshop. It's a workshop. That's what I love about it. There's so many things in that. Have you heard from people, from women that have bought the book that were not believers and dealt with their stuff?
Oh my God, yes. And what's so funny is they told me that I tricked them. That's the funny part. Yeah. You're like, you got us thinking that this is just a regular whatever. And you know, it's full of the word. It's full of scriptures. I remember these scriptures my grandmother told me or my mom told me, and they strayed away from church because they felt like church was a bunch of rules. And said, no, God is freedom. He's liberation. God wants us to be free. He doesn't want you to be bound up. Now, there are things that you need to do as a believer. There is a standard that we have to uphold, and there's a lifestyle that we should maintain. But there's so much fun in being a Christian. I love being saved. There's nothing boring about praying. There's nothing corny about serving the Lord. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And so I have heard from these women, and their lives have been changed. Their husbands are reading the books with them. The husbands are coming to my classes, and they're like, where have you been? I wish my wife listened to you years ago. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And so it's really good to see. It's really good to see people are going back to church. They're opening their Bibles again. And I'm not talking about Bible apps. I mean, they're opening up pages and folding through and getting their highlighters out and enjoying reading the Word of God. So yes, that has been the greatest achievement ever, is to see people's lives be changed by the words that God gave me.
Right. And from your pain. So yeah. I love that God uses everything. He recycles everything. So you could have kept that to yourself, right? And say like, okay, I don't want to share this. This is too personal. But did you feel that God pushed you to write the book?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Not only did he, I already started writing notes and chapters, and I had some thoughts and stuff. And then God used an amazing woman. Her name is Asha Tyson, and she called me. It's pretty much a roundabout way I'm going to just say that she said, it's time for your book to happen.
Wow.
Because I was just kind of like trying to put it together, but just didn't kind of know how to do it. And she said, it's just, I'm gonna help you get there. I'm going to get you from here to here. Let me help you through this process. And she did.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's amazing. And there, and here it is. It's just powerful. I love the cover, of course. Thank but you. I love how
I did my hair and makeup, by the way.
You did. That
I did.
Pretty cute. Super cute. You're like, mm-hmm. Super cute. Super cute. But talk to me about your relationship. You had to marry someone pretty special, because usually, I'm not gonna generalize, but usually men don't like to put their stuff out there. So you have to marry someone that had the calling as well and felt confident sharing, even though it was a little indirect, sharing their journey as well. So tell me about that. Did you talk to your husband first? Did you guys feel it at the same time? How did that go?
Well, with my husband, I wanted him to be a part of the book, and I wanted him to feel like he had some input. At first, that was not the plan. At first, that's not what we were going for. But I knew, this is the thing, I knew that he had to have something to say. Mm. And there are a lot of times as women and as wives, we talk about our husbands and we go, I'm married to this person and I have these many kids, but we don't really let them get involved in the process. Mm. And because I'm talking about how a little old fashioned goes a long way, and I'm talking about the structure of God and how, you know, it's God, husband, wife, children, everybody else. Why wouldn't he be in the book? Why wouldn't I esteem him? Why wouldn't I talk about him? Why wouldn't I share with him these moments? Because without my husband, y'all wouldn't see me. Mm. I'm very aware of that. And I know there's a lot of women that want to be superstars and they don't want to share the platforms with their husband. I do. I see visions of me and my husband being in front of thousands and thousands of people together. And he's not just in the background, but he's standing with me and I'm standing with him. And we're doing these things together. We're married together. We raise our children together. We do business together. Everything that I do, I'm backed by my husband, or he's literally, you know, I say that I stand on his shoulders. You know, like I literally come stand on his shoulders. Now I probably break his shoulders, child. But I'm just saying, I stand on his shoulders because he pushes me up so people can see me. But they don't know, without a strong foundation, your house will crack. Right. And my husband is the strong foundation, which makes it easy for me to do what I do.
Right. And for him to be, he has to be confident enough that when you shine, it doesn't take anything away from him.
It doesn't take a thing from him because I'm too vocal for that foolishness. You know, I'm telling you, I let
it that in the known. Book. I think
oh,
I have
yeah.
it. So good.
I let it be known when, you know, this is the thing. My husband is the bomb. I love me some shine. Everybody knows that. And so when people try to divide and conquer and separate us and go, well, you don't need his approval. I'm like, you're the devil. And that's how I know you are. Because anytime you try to divide a marriage, that's demonic. Anytime you try to divide a covenant, that's demonic. Even anytime you try to divide and separate relationships, you're controlling and you are demonic. And so I there's something in me that raises up when it comes to my husband, because it's like, you're trying to come between me and him, and he is the business partner. Did you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I make it known, you know, you're not going to push my husband in a corner somewhere. Listen, nobody pushed Babe back in the corner.
That's right. Yeah, I love what you said. You said, women, be careful that you marry. I was trying to find a place, but you, her husband has full confidence in her. Like, you need to know who you're marrying. So somebody that's confident with a strong woman.
That's right.
He has to be. Otherwise, he's not your husband.
That's right.
It's that simple.
And I have to, as a wife, I have to remind him how much I love him and I adore him and I need him and I support him and I validate him. That's my responsibility. So when people are looking at me like, you're the vocal part of the ministry of the family, you are the personality of the family, I have to remind them, there's somebody over here that keeps this machine running, and it sure ain't me. You know, I just come to y'all and smile and wave. You know, but he's working that.